Okay, so we were talking before by Shanim Kippur, we were talking about the four-stage pattern, the four stages of growth of Melech Uzer and Moshiach Magen. For those of you who did not listen to those classes, well, shame on you. But I'll give a quick Tamsit Dvarim, a brief summary, very brief, of the steps, which was step number one, we'll use alcoholism as our mashal. All right, step number one, you got to wake up. Shofar Rosh Hashanah, you got to toot your horn, you got to wake up to the fact that you got a problem, right? That you're an alcoholic. You got to see it, that it's a problem, right? And in our world, you got to see that Hashem is the Melech. That's ultimately, it's the only thing to see here, right? You got to see something, see reality a little more clearly than you did before. Then I need Ozer, which is a whole new step, which is, now that I'm an alcoholic, so what? I keep drinking anyway. Now I just know I have a problem. So I need a Ozer, I need help from Hashem, Aseres Meitshuva, to help me now shift my behavior in line with these new truths that I've seen and stop drinking, right? Or move in line with whatever truth I've discovered about myself or the world or Hashem through the process of waking up on Rosh Hashanah. Then the problem is that now it seems good. On the one hand, I am more aware than I was and I'm living in line with that awareness, but I still have a past. We said I have decades of past that are all still, all those neuron pathways and such are all still pulling on me, yanking me backwards, my insides, my whole past keeps calling me, exerting like a gravitational pull, and nothing I can do about that. What am I supposed to do? Past is past, meaning that it's not, right? Past is still here, so I need to be saved. That's Yeshua. Midrash says, Yishi is Yom Kippur. Hashem can save you. He can save you from yourself, save you from your past. Like Rabbi Yonah said, you can lay your burden down and walk away and be born again, born fresh, new. That was Slicha and Kapara of Hashem, was to wipe it clean to a history eraser button. That was the miracle. That was Yom Kippur. That's what was on offer. Okay, so after all that, that whole growth process seems very good. You're awake. You're living in line with that awareness. Hashem has even wiped the slate clean, so you're reborn into your new enlightened state. So you're not being pulled gravitationally back to your past anymore. So we're all good, right? Let's move on. So the problem is, we saw that now you need some kind of latching mechanism, right? Now you need some way to protect your gains. How do you lock in your gains? The same world that drove you to alcoholism the first time is going to do it again, right? Even if it's not your past pulling you back, all those patterns that you created, Hashem saved you from, but the world didn't change, unfortunately. The world's still full of horribleness. So yasti reini b'sukkah b'yom ra. We say in the David that the day is bad, the outside is bad, but it can be in his sukkah. The sukkah is a magen. Sukkah is a protector. I need to be protected by Hashem from the outside. Now I'm clean. I can be quarantined so that I don't get it anymore. Right? I'll be kept safe inside this box. Okay, that was the idea of magen and the necessity of a final step of the four-step process. Okay, so now let's examine a little more detail. We're going to do it in two parts. Today will be the simpler approach. And tomorrow we're going to try to do some depth. Some more exciting depth. Right? So, sukkahs. So, here's the problem. You know, if what we're looking at, as I hear, the symbolism, you know, Chazal symbolism is always pretty clear, right? And as Rosh Hashanah, where we're waking up, Uru Yishenim, we're waking up from things. You toot a horn to wake people up. That's pretty straightforward, right? The symbols are pretty straight. Yom Kippur is obviously very clear also. Slicha and Kapara, wiping the slate clean, all very obvious. And now if Sukkah is a Magen, right? If Sukkah is meant to be a protector, and the Simen is that now that I'm clean, I want to stay safe, that the world shouldn't get me again, like it did the first time. So sukkah is a really bad mugging, right? We should build bunkers, steel, whatever, concrete reinforced, to stay safe from the world, right? And yet the sukkah by design is very flimsy. It's a flimsy thing. And even if you want to build it out of whatever concrete and zeb of the house, the roof at least has to be a piece of garbage. Right, literally, what are we going to do with all our roofs after? So we're going to throw them in the garbage. Right, you're roofing it with dead stuff that has to be a diras arai. however keva, however solid you want to make the rest of it, the roof has to be at least extremely temporary, flimsy, and a terrible, terrible mugging. So here we are on this holiday that's meant to be the fourth stage of development, where Hashem, we're asking Hashem to protect us so we could lock in our development and move on to new things and not have to keep fighting the world on the same points over and over again. I love it, but what's our symbol? Some shack. That's what you're building for protection? A hut? Right? A flimsy ramshackle thing? That's the worst symbol for a mugging I could possibly think of. Right? It's a problem. Think about it. It's a problem. Good. So, let's maybe define the answer. Let's take a different look at Sukkos from a different perspective. Okay? We've been looking at Sukkos now. Remember, Sukkos plays a few roles. Just derech agav. Right? Sukkos, the thinker people, that's their official title, the thinker people like to talk about the holidays in two different ma'arachot, right? Two different systems. I have the Pesach Shavuot Sukkah system, which is the Moadim, right? The Regalim, the Shoshesh Regalim, and then I have also the Chagei Tishrei, the dinny ones, right? The Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, right? And Sukkos plays a dual role. On the one hand, it's the finale, it's the grand finale of the Regalim, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, and it's also the grand finale of the Tishrei stuff, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos thing, right? So Sukkos really has a dual role to play, both as a regal and as part of the Yemei Din. Okay, and that's, so they point out as a siyata, let's say raya, as a siyata for what they're saying, that all the holidays you bring 7 sheep, and on Sukkos you bring 14, right? Because it's a double holiday, so it gets 2 sevens. That's the kind of thing that excites people. Good. So, but definitely true. You can't shake it. It's the finale of the whole system, right? So we've been talking about Sukkos primarily in terms of its role in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur process, right? The personal development process, developing my relationship with God in terms of the Rosh Hashanah, Seres, Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, Melech, Ezer, Moshe, Umagain system. Let's take a look at it now in the other system. Now, the Pesach Shavuot Sukkos system also has many different perspectives on it, what those three steps are, right? And if you, my son and I were looking at these, there's a lot of Svarim out, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's an awful lot of books now about everything. And one of my favorite things that they do in these books, in the thinky books, or what passes for thinky books nowadays, is they play the math games, where, you know, this is connected this, which is connected this, which is connected, you know, so Sukkos is connected Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov is connected Midas Neira, which is connected the Torah, which is connected Ashuras HaShechina, which is connected the Beis HaMikdash, which is connected the Anonim of the Mishkan, and the Anana Kavod was the Sukkah, so that's the Sukkah, so Yaakov's the Sukkah. Oh, wow, you blew my mind. So it's so funny because you didn't think of, there was no thinking that happened. All he did was find a bunch of loosely connected things and say they're all zek connected zeh. So even let's say I accept your equations, which is great, but show your work, right? That's what I was the teacher, that's what I'd write on the side of the article, like show your work, right? That's where all the fun is. What, first of all, what do any of those things mean? What's Ashuras HaShechina? What's Beis HaMikdash? What's Midas Nora? What's Torah? What's Yaakov? What's Sukkah? What's anything? And show me what you're learning from these connections. Then that would be exciting. So what the use of these books is that for a person who's thinking deeply about things and who struggles with what is Midas Nora, I say Gadol Gibur Nora every day, many times a day. At least 3 in the Shemona Esrei. Right, what is Nora? And so now I look at this thing and I see, ooh, wow, Nora's connected with Yaakov Avinu's life. Or look, Nora's connected with the experience of the Beis HaMikdash. That might help me understand what Nora Ut is. These equations are useful to help me get things and understand them, but they're not thinking. That's not thinking. That's like the setup for thinking, right? That's like a guidelines or whatever to help you think. So the books are useful, but it's amusing when that's the article, as if they had taught you something, right? Anyhow. So good. So Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We could play the Zeh Keneged Zeh game all you want. And there's a few days, you know. It's a big deal, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. There'd be a lot of different ways to look at it, a lot of different ways to understand the system. But definitely one of the things that the Torah talks about is that it's agricultural. Okay? For sure, one of the perspectives to take on the Chagim is that they match the agricultural cycle. Yeah, you're harvesting your thing, and now you're gathering it. I don't even know. I'm like the least agricultural person. Okay, so, but I know that Sukkot is Chag HaSif, all right, that I know. And I know this is your gathering in your stuff, okay? And so now, you're gathering in your stuff, and then we have Sukkot. So my kesher Chag HaSif. This is Pasha stuff, I'm not, no chidushim as of yet. Okay, why Chag HaSif now? And you're gathering it in. As Rabbi Green points out, in the Pasuk talks about Ezrach Bisrael Yitzba Sukkot. Every citizen, Ezrach, it's a weird word, you don't see it so often in the Torah that it talks about Ezrach. So Rabbi Green said, an Ezrach is somebody that has a sense of entitlement. I'm a citizen. Do you have any idea who I am? Right? A citizen is somebody who has a sense of entitlement, who feels solid and secure in his position. Okay, that's a citizen. So if you're thinking about agriculturally, again, I'm not a farmer, but from a farmer's perspective, farmers are it's a very precarious kind of job. Being a farmer, there's so much you're dependent on that you have no control over, right? Mostly just the weather. My mother was telling me, her grandfather was a farmer in Wisconsin, and she spent summers with him and stuff, and she remembers the men on the farm, every morning, you discuss the weather. And back then, it was very rudimentary. The, you know, meteorological knowledge and stuff was not so, they didn't have computers or models for any of these things. So the men used to sit and talk about the weather, and it's literally life or death. The weather was a topic, not like we were passing time. Oh, a little hot today. No, they're like, well, us are, you know, people are going to sit in our air conditioning anyway. For these guys, the weather meant were the crops going to grow or not. And if they're not going to grow, we're all going to die, right? In the extreme versions. Right? So farmers, you know, it's a way more tenuous lifestyle. Okay? You're going to have to excuse the background music. Telstan has decided to blast really terrible music for some, I don't know. All right. Good. But what happens Sukkot time? Sukkot time is the best time of year. Zaman Simchasenu. Why? Because I actually have the stuff. Chag HaSif, I got it in the thing. This is the agricultural equivalent of money in the bank. Right? I got barns and granaries, silos, whatever it is you put this stuff, they're full of stuff. And at this point, I'm in a tremendous amount of danger as a farmer. Why? Looking through the Torah, we talk about the idea of achalta v'savata in a few different ways. Okay? At the point of Sviya where I'm good, meaning I don't need anything anymore. Okay? Which is where the farmer finds himself, he's good. It's the first time in the year, he doesn't need God anymore. Okay? But when he planted, for sure needs God. By the rain time, he for sure needs God. By the time it's growing, he needs God. He's davening. I could have droughts, I could have blights, I could have locusts. Even I harvest the stuff and I'm leaving it out to dry, a million horrible things could happen. Fires and Lord knows what. But now it's safe. It's under lock and key. I got it, man. It's mine. I'm going to take it to market and make a bundle. I'm set. For the first time in his life, achalta v'savata, he doesn't need God. So if you look in the Torah, we talk about achalta v'savata, there's two ways a person can go. Okay? There's the achalta v'savata that we have in benching. Achalta v'savata uverachtas Hashem aleikacha. You eat, you satiate, now it's time to thank Hashem, to give him a bracha, give Hashem a bracha for taking care of you. There are tzateva shanasan lach. The other v'chalta v'savata we have in Kriya Shema, in a bunch of other places, right? Chalta v'chalta v'shavchachta, we say, Yishar melecha, pen yifte levavcha, v'sar tematem melecha, this is the time you're going to leave God. Why? Because I don't need him anymore. The whole time things were up in the air, I needed God. Now I don't need him anymore, now I'll go do my own thing. Okay, that's a very dangerous, right? V'yishman yeshurun v'yivat, you get fat and then you kick. We waxed fat and kicked, like in Hazinu, that's pashat. Okay, so those are that's the danger that the farmer is in at this time. Okay, and that really all of us are in pretty much all the time nowadays. Okay, if you look in peruse some of the more interesting thinkers of the last however many years, so Christopher Hitchens definitely on the list. But you know, atheist, kind of anyway. Whatever he is exactly. But one of the things that he said, Davi was not a big fan of religion, okay, that's for sure. One of the things he said is that is that, listen, you can't disprove the existence of God. Okay? It's an impossible thing. Good luck. Disprove the existence of God. Right? It's an impossible argument. So he said, but he believes that science has come to the point where we no longer require the concept of God to explain our reality. And therefore, let's not have one. Because, as he said, well, if there's a God, then we're all slaves. And who wants that? Okay, so that, what an honest man. Okay, he died, and he probably doesn't exist anymore. But that's a very honest thought to have. Which is, I feel that I can explain what I'm doing here without the need to invoke some kind of God concept. And therefore, I'd rather not have one. Who the heck wants God? He's a drag. He's got rules and laws and such. So when I chalta v'savata, and now I finally don't need him anymore. Let's get rid of him. That's the first thing you do. I was dependent the whole time. I mean, davening, now I don't need it. Let's get rid of this guy. So it's pashut. It's not, like I said, not no chidushim. Okay? But that is the danger of achalta v'savata, is that point. So now what? So how do you make sure that you tip the right way and not the wrong way? Okay? How do you make sure that when you hit that v'savata, when you got your money in the bank, right? When your grain's in the thing, and everything's set, and nothing can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong anymore, so to speak. How do you make sure you're uveirachta and not veshachachta, right? Veram levavcha, and sartem, all those things. Okay? How do you make sure to stay on the right side of that particular equation? So that's what Sukkos is coming to do for him. For him, for the Ezrach with his feeling of entitlement, for the farmer with his feeling of a Savata where he no longer requires Hashem, send you out to the Sukkah, go live in a shack. Okay, leave your comfortable home, your safe and secure location, get out to this rickety thing, okay, where you're exposed to the elements, and there's bugs, and it's cold, and if it rains, you get wet, right? That is the Sukkah. You're in the nature, so to speak. To some extent, you're not protected and you're not safe. And that is the reminder, this is the idea for this thing, is the way that you hold on is to recognize that you're not safe. That's the trick. You know what the trick is? There's no trick. That's the trick. you're looking for, wow, now that we don't need God anymore, how do we stay good with him so we'll make sure to bless him and not forget him and walk away? Well, how about go back to your first premise and undo it because it's not true. Like, well, now we don't need God anymore. So I guess you do. You're as vulnerable as you ever were. You had the illusion of security. That's all you had. When my mother was thinking about making Aliyah, this was many years ago, and she's been here now over 10 years, Baruch Hashem, but when she was first thinking about it, she was talking to my Rosh Hashiva and Zichron, Rabbi Black, she live and be well. She was talking to them, and she said, you know, she's worried about security. Retrospect. She's worried about security. She lives in Florida. Everything's nice. And she's worried about security in terms of moving to Israel. So Rabbi Black looked at her. He's like, you're not secure. He's like, all you're talking about is trading your illusion for security for the reality of insecurity, right? But you're as insecure there as you are anywhere else. That's all. So that's what we're talking about. How, you want to not forget Hashem? So how about just recognizing the truth that you still need him as much as ever? Nothing changed. Just the situation was such that you're able to dupe yourself into thinking. The particular thing you were thinking about is done, and therefore you dupe yourself into thinking like now you're independent, you're okay. Okay? That's the illusion that you have to break. The illusion of security, that's the mistake that you make that leads you the other direction. Just remember, get out in the sukkah and remember you're as vulnerable as ever, tiger. Right? You got nothing to protect you except God. That's no less true now than it was before. Okay? That's what has to get beaten into your head when it comes to the v'chalt v'savata problem. Okay? That's, again, that's an explanation of sukkahs and its function in the agricultural cycle, right? And obviously the obvious lesson for us who are, I think maybe we live sort of eternally in the v'chalt v'savata state, right? We're a bunch of spoiled rich kids, all of us. We live better than kings live. I don't have to have that talk right now, but you know, our lives are better than, I heard somebody said, he said you would rather be a poor person now than the wealthiest person from not so long ago. You're still living better now. Right? It's insanity. Good. So now, but how? Let's use that now to go back to our other talk. Remember, our other talk was a long time ago. When we were talking about Melech Ezer Mashiach Magen, we said, well, what the heck kind of symbol is this? is I get it for the agricultural thing, it's the opposite, right? I'm trying to show you that you're insecure, right? To keep God in your life, to recognize that you're as dependent as you ever were. But now in the personal growth, you know, development or Shoshone Yom Kippur cycle, Melech Ezer Mashiach Magen, I need a symbol for security. I need a symbol that, right? I need a symbol for security. I need a symbol of Magen. What's Magen about this? It's the opposite. It's backwards. But we can say, no, it's the same thing. Okay? It's exactly the same thing. And this I read just recently. Again, in Ernest Becker, in Denial of Death, which will feature prominently in tomorrow's shir, Bezrat Hashem. But he points something out about development in general. And he's talking from a psychoanalytic perspective about, you know, people healing from their neuroses and stuff. But he said one of the best signs of the genuineness of your cure is your insecurity in the cure, is your lack of confidence in how cured you are, right? What he calls humility in that context. Meaning, you want a shield? Knows what? You want to do your growth and develop, right? And I did it, and I woke up to something about myself, about the world, about life, about the Torah, about Hashem, about my relationship with Him, about something. And I worked on it, serves me tshuva, and I davened, and Hashem helped me to change my life. So I'm living in line with this truth now. And then He saved me on Yom Kippur, and I was released from the gravitational pull of my past. And now we're just going to lock it in. Right? Now I did it. I'm done with that now. Say if we can move on to something else. That's the idea of Sukkos. So the lesson of Sukkos is that it's not true. That you're doomed. You would be doomed if you would think that for a second. It's all over, man. You're going to go down instantly. You're back to the Ezrach. You're going to go right back down. What does everybody always say? Oh, I thought I was done with that, man. I thought we were past that. I thought it was bigger, right? Well, you're not past that, and you're not done with that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't think you're past it, and then we won't be having this conversation where you'll be whining about how you thought you were past it, because you're not past it. Be insecure is the greatest protection that you could ask for. Go out into the sukkah and say, you were looking for a magen, you got God, and that's it. There is no magen. Ha ha! Joke's on you. You wanted some way to ensure that you could lock down your growth process and you'll never backslide? There isn't one! And guess what? You know what? If you're left to your own devices, you're going down. The world will take you down just as it did before. The Yetzirah is much stronger than you are. By design, the Yetzirah is much more powerful than you are, and he will eat you for breakfast again and again and again and again. And you're never safe. And you came out looking for safety, and look up, man, there's no safety. At that point, you realize, all I have is Hashem. And I'm going to have to beg Hashem every day, please, please don't let me fall back down. I don't want to go back to that pit that I just dragged myself out of. I don't want to go back in there, please. I can't do it. If it's up to me, I'm going to be in there 3 seconds. I'm going to be back to davening with no kavana, not learning, being a miserable human being, snapping at my wife, abusing my children. I'm going to hit the bottle instantly if it's up to me. Please, Hashem, you're all I have. You're the only protection I have. That, it's the same lesson. The same lesson of the farmer who was so cocky because he had grain in the thing. That's your lesson too, Mr. Self-Development. You think you developed past stuff? I worked on myself. I've made a lot of kinyanim and midos tovas. You have nothing, nothing. You have nothing on your own. And if Hashem doesn't help you, you're going to be an animal. You're just going to disintegrate. I am the internet for a perish of what that looks like. Okay, the lesson of the sukkah is that you come out for a shield and there isn't one. There's nothing to protect you from the world except for Hashem. And your only hope, the only hope that any of us have to hold on to any of the incredibleness that this whole thing was. How were you not crying when Aseres Metshuva was over? How did you not cry at the end of Yom Kippur when you realized that special closeness that we had? All that assistance we got was going to be gone for another year. And whatever work we'd ever done, you're vulnerable. You know what's coming, the long night of winter. When everything's normal and everything's the same every day. And we all end up stuck back in the place we were before. Do you want that? You want all of this to be for nothing? When stop thinking that there's some way, there's no trick, there's no trick. There's no way for this to be safe. You're not safe. But as soon as you get that point that you're not safe, and you turn to Hashem with tears in your eyes and you say, please, Don't let it all be for nothing. That's the secret. Then Hashem will protect you. And then you can have security in the fact that you have a God watching over you. The way my father-in-law used to say it, he said, self-confidence? What kind of idiot is self-confidence? What the heck is there in yourself to be confident in? Self-confidence is an illusion and a fantasy, an idiocy. God confidence, that's something worth thinking about. God confidence is something that we can rely on. Ratch Goyach, everyone. B'zrat Hashem, will pick up tomorrow.